Why influence is the ultimate superpower. Have you ever wished you could change someone's mind, inspire action, or lead with confidence, all without force, manipulation, or control? Influence is not about being pushy. It's not about being loud. It's about understanding human behavior so deeply that people naturally trust you, listen to you, and want to follow your lead. In this audiobook, we're going to uncover the science, the psychology, and the real-world strategies behind the art of influence. These are proven techniques used by world-class leaders, negotiators, therapists, marketers, and even undercover agents. You don't need to be a celebrity or a CEO to influence others. You just need to learn what truly moves people from the inside out. Whether you want to win more clients, strengthen relationships, lead a team, or simply become someone others admire and follow, this journey will change how you interact with the world forever. Let's begin. Chapter 1. The Psychology Behind Influence: What Really Works. Influence isn't magic. It's psychology. And the truth is, most people are influenced not by logic, but by emotion. Studies show that up to 90% of decisions are made emotionally and later justified with logic. That means, if you want to influence someone, you must start by connecting with how they feel. Influence starts with perception, how people see you. And that perception is shaped by your tone, your words, your body language, and even your energy. The first rule of influence? People must like you. Dr. Robert Cialdini, a world-renowned psychologist and author of Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion, identified 6 core principles of influence: reciprocity, scarcity, authority, consistency, liking, and social proof. We'll explore all of them in this audiobook, but let's start with the foundation, liking. People follow those they like. If you're warm, approachable, and genuine, people are far more likely to listen to you. If you're cold, defensive, or self-focused, even the smartest argument in the world will fall flat. Start by building rapport. Mirror their tone. Use their name. Find common ground. Compliment them sincerely. Smile, not just with your mouth, but with your eyes and energy. In one famous study, waiters who repeated their customers' orders exactly, mirroring their words, received significantly higher tips. Why? Because people feel understood, and when they feel understood, they trust you more. Trust is the currency of influence. You can't influence without trust, and trust is built through consistency, integrity, and presence. Show up, mean what you say, keep your word, and most of all, listen. Listening is the secret weapon of great influencers. When you truly listen, people feel valued. And when people feel valued, they open up. They become willing to see your perspective. Influence becomes easy. Influence is not control. Here's a truth that surprises many. Influence is not about controlling someone. It's about helping them see things differently. True influence invites cooperation, not resistance. It opens doors instead of forcing them open. If you try to push someone too hard, they'll push back. That's human nature. But if you ask the right questions, if you guide instead of demand, if you make them feel heard and respected, people will move with you, not against you. Your internal state shapes external impact. Finally, remember this. The most powerful influencers control their inner world. If you're anxious, desperate, or unsure, it shows. But if you're calm, confident, and centered, people feel that too. Before every important conversation, take a moment. Breathe, ground yourself, visualize a positive outcome, speak from certainty, not arrogance, but calm, quiet power. Influence begins within. Chapter 2. Building Instant Trust and Likeability. Trust isn't earned over months anymore. It's often decided, in seconds. In today's fast-paced world, people judge you instantly by your eyes, your energy, your tone, and your intent. To influence anyone, you must become a master at building instant trust and likability. And it starts before you even speak. First impressions are everything. A Princeton study revealed that people form impressions of trustworthiness within the first 100 milliseconds of seeing your face. That's faster than the blink of an eye. So, what does that mean for you? Your body language, posture, and facial expressions are doing the talking before your mouth ever opens. Make sure they speak the right message. Confidence without arrogance. Warmth without desperation. Keep your shoulders relaxed, your spine straight, and your expression open. Make eye contact, not with intensity but with ease. A soft, genuine smile triggers a mirror response in the brain, releasing oxytocin and making the other person feel safe. The likability principle. People don't listen to those they don't like, but the good news? Likability is not a mystery. It's a skill. To become more likable, be genuinely curious about others. Ask open-ended questions that invite people to share. Show appreciation, even for small things. Find common ground, especially shared values or interests. Psychologist Dale Carnegie said it best, "You can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get them interested in you." This isn't manipulation. It's connection. The law of familiarity. People trust what feels familiar. That's why repetition, consistency, and small routines can build enormous trust over time. When someone sees you regularly showing up, speaking with clarity, and behaving consistently, they feel safe around you. And safety breeds influence. Even in a single conversation, you can create familiarity by matching their tone, mirroring their body language subtly, or using similar vocabulary. These micro mirrors create subconscious alignment that makes people say, "I feel like I've known you forever." Vulnerability builds authentic connection. One of the most powerful ways to build trust is to be real. Don't be afraid to admit what you don't know, share a personal story, or acknowledge a mistake. Vulnerability does not weaken influence. It strengthens it. When you drop the mask, others do too. And from that place of mutual humanity, deep influence becomes possible. Think of the leaders you admire most. Chances are they're not perfect, but they are authentic. Listen like their words matter. You've heard it before. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Influence grows in the space between listening and responding. Don't interrupt. Don't wait for your turn to speak. Really hear them. Nod, reflect their emotions, ask clarifying questions, make them feel not just heard but seen. When someone feels truly listened to, they become far more receptive to your message. Chapter 3, The Art of Subtle Persuasion. Persuasion is not about domination. It's not about proving someone wrong or cornering them into agreement. Real persuasion is an invitation, a gentle nudge, a subtle shift in perspective that feels like their own idea. The most powerful influencers don't yell, they whisper. They guide. They plant seeds and let those seeds grow inside the minds of others. Persuasion begins with framing. Framing is how you present an idea so it resonates deeply with someone's existing beliefs or values. The same fact, delivered differently, can either create resistance or inspire agreement. For example, instead of saying, "This project is going to be hard," say, "This is a powerful challenge that will push us to grow." Change. "We have a problem," to "We have an opportunity." These subtle shifts frame the idea positively, reducing fear and sparking motivation. Ask, don't tell. One of the most overlooked tools in persuasion is the power of asking questions. When you tell someone what to do, their defense goes up. But when you ask the right question, their mind naturally opens. Ask things like, What do you think would happen if we tried this instead? How would you feel if this improved your results? Would it make sense to explore another perspective? Questions create curiosity. They invite the other person into the conversation, which makes your influence feel cooperative rather than controlling. Use the yes ladder technique. This is a classic persuasion method where you start by getting someone to agree to small, easy statements. Each yes builds momentum toward a larger agreement. Start with, "You'd agree that solving this quickly is important, right? We both want the best outcome, correct? If we could find a solution that feels right to both of us, that would be worth exploring." By the time you offer your actual suggestion, they're already in a yes mindset. Speak to their values, not just your logic. Everyone has core values, things they deeply care about. If you can connect your idea to their values, you unlock their emotional investment. For instance, if someone values freedom, frame your solution as a way to give them more flexibility. If they care about family, show how your idea helps create security or support for their loved ones. You're not just persuading with facts. You're aligning with what matters to them. Timing is everything. Even the best idea will fall flat if delivered at the wrong time. Learn to read the room. Watch for emotional cues. If someone is tense, defensive, or distracted, pause. Wait. Revisit the conversation when they're more receptive. Sometimes silence is more persuasive than words. Let your idea hang in the air. Don't rush to fill the space. Let them think. The pause gives them ownership of the decision. Plant the seed and walk away. Not every persuasion attempt needs an instant result. Often, the best influencers plant an idea and give it space. They don't push. They suggest. And then let the other person arrive at the conclusion on their own. Because the most powerful form of persuasion is this: when they believe it was their idea all along. Chapter 4. Using reciprocity to win people over. Human behavior is wired with one powerful principle: reciprocity. When someone gives us something, time, attention, kindness, value, we naturally feel compelled to return the favor. This psychological trigger is deeply rooted in our biology and social conditioning, and when used ethically, it becomes one of the most effective influence tools available. Think about it. When a stranger does something kind for you, don't you instinctively want to do something in return? That's reciprocity in action, and it works everywhere. Business, relationships, leadership, negotiation. The rule that runs the world. Dr. Robert Cialdini described reciprocity as the rule that runs society. It's how cooperation, trust, and loyalty are built in every culture, across every generation. Even small gestures, a helpful tip, a sincere compliment, a small favor, can activate this rule. And once activated, the other person begins to feel emotionally inclined to respond with gratitude, support, agreement, or action. This isn't manipulation. It's a respectful exchange. You give first, without demand, and in return, people become open to your influence. Give first, without expecting. The real power of reciprocity lies in giving without conditions. When you offer something valuable without asking for anything in return, it builds massive goodwill and trust. Give your time. Share useful insights. Recommend resources. Offer help. Celebrate others' wins. Be generous with praise and encouragement. These actions create emotional debt, not in a negative way, but in a natural, human way that makes people feel they want to reciprocate. In sales, this might look like offering free value before asking for a sale. In leadership, it might be empowering your team before expecting loyalty. In relationships, it might mean being emotionally supportive first before requesting understanding. The gift of attention. One of the most powerful gifts you can give is your attention. When you truly listen, when you're present, When you notice the small things, it creates a deep emotional imprint. People remember how you made them feel. If you make them feel valued, heard, seen, they will instinctively value you back. That emotional exchange builds influence that lasts. Strategic generosity. Reciprocity can also be used strategically. Think of it like planting seeds. The more seeds you plant, the more relationships grow. Help others achieve their goals. Promote their work. Make introductions. Give feedback. Share credit. And over time, you become someone others trust, respect, and follow. Not because you demanded it, but because you earned it. One real-life example comes from the business world. Top networkers like Adam Grant and Gary Vaynerchuk built massive influence, not by asking first, but by giving value for years before expecting anything in return. That's long-game influence, and it works. Turn giving into a habit. Make giving part of your daily life. Give a compliment each morning. Send a thoughtful message to someone you admire. Offer help in one conversation each day. Share someone's work or success with your network. Smile at strangers. Hold the door. Say thank you with meaning. These small acts of generosity create ripples that come back to you, often in unexpected and powerful ways. Influence begins with giving. The more you give, authentically, freely, and consistently, the more you receive in return. Not just favors, but trust, respect, connection, and cooperation. Chapter 5. How to influence through authority, even without a title. You don't need a title to be respected. You don't need a promotion to be powerful. True authority doesn't come from your position. It comes from your presence. People listen to those who carry themselves with certainty, speak with clarity, and act with integrity. That's the foundation of influence through authority. And the best part? You can build it without waiting for permission. Authority is more about how others perceive you than any job title. If you walk into a room with purpose, speak from experience, and treat others with respect, you immediately stand out. People look to those who look like they know where they're going. That's not arrogance. That's confidence, built on self-awareness and preparation. One key trait of perceived authority is expertise. When you consistently demonstrate that you know what you're talking about, through insight, facts, or experience, people begin to trust your voice. But knowledge alone isn't enough. It has to be delivered with confidence and relevance. You must understand your audience, speak their language, and answer the questions they're too afraid to ask. Another element of authority is decisiveness. Influential people make decisions calmly and quickly. They don't always have the perfect answer, but they take responsibility for direction. In conversations, they don't ramble. They get to the point. Their words carry weight because they don't waste them. To build this kind of authority, stop over-explaining. Say what needs to be said and let silence do the rest. Certainty is magnetic. When you believe in what you say, others start believing too. It doesn't mean being stubborn. It means standing firm on what matters while staying open to learning. When you own your perspective, others respect it, even if they disagree. There's also emotional authority, the ability to stay calm under pressure. When everyone else is panicking, the person who remains grounded becomes the leader. People follow emotional stability. If you want to influence in high-stress situations, train yourself to breathe, pause, and respond, not react. Your presence becomes the anchor others need. One powerful strategy to build authority is to teach. Share your knowledge generously. When you explain something in a way that helps others grow, they naturally see you as a leader. Whether it's mentoring a colleague, breaking down a concept, or offering advice, teaching earns respect, not because you're showing off, but because you're adding value. And finally, remember that true authority is never forced. It's earned through character, competence, and consistency. Speak the truth. Deliver on your word. Stay humble, but never small. You don't have to shout to be heard. When you carry real authority, even your whisper turns heads. Chapter 6. The Magic of Mirroring and Matching Behavior. People are naturally drawn to those who feel familiar, and the most effective way to create familiarity quickly is through mirroring and matching. This isn't manipulation. It's empathy in motion. It's the art of aligning your behavior, tone, and body language with the person you're trying to influence, creating instant connection and psychological harmony. Mirroring happens when you subtly reflect someone's posture, gestures, facial expressions, or speaking style. When they lean forward, you lean slightly forward. When they cross their arms, you do the same a few moments later. When they speak slowly, you match their pace. Done with care and subtlety, this creates a sense of rapport so strong the other person begins to feel safe, seen, and understood. This phenomenon is backed by science. Neuroscientists have discovered what are called mirror neurons in the brain, cells that activate both when we perform an action and when we observe someone else performing it. These neurons are responsible for empathy, imitation, and bonding. When you mirror someone's behavior, their brain begins to associate you with trust and safety on a subconscious level. Matching behavior isn't limited to body language. It also includes tone of voice, energy level, choice of words, and even breathing rhythm. If someone speaks softly and calmly, and you respond with loud, fast-paced speech, it creates dissonance. But if you adjust your delivery to match theirs, even slightly, you reduce resistance and increase receptivity. Influencers in sales, therapy, leadership, and negotiation use this skill every day. A great therapist doesn't just listen. They reflect the client's emotional state. A skilled negotiator doesn't bulldoze. They find common ground by mirroring posture and matching tone. It's not about copying. It's about syncing. To use this strategy ethically and effectively, stay observant. Notice how the other person sits, speaks, and gestures. Then, begin to subtly echo those patterns. Not all at once, not obviously, but gently over time. If they sit upright, do the same. If they use certain phrases often, weave them into your response. If they use humor, smile with them. Let your communication feel like a dance, not a battle. There's also verbal mirroring, where you repeat the last few words of someone's sentence as a question or reflection. For example, if they say, "I'm struggling to stay focused," you can respond, "Struggling to stay focused?" This simple technique shows empathy, builds trust, and keeps the conversation flowing naturally. Mirroring should always feel authentic, never forced. If you overdo it, people will feel uncomfortable, but when done right, it creates a powerful sense of psychological alignment that leads to influence without resistance. They'll walk away thinking, "I don't know why, but I just really connected with that person." That's the magic. Influence isn't about dominating. It's about harmonizing. When you mirror someone's reality, they become open to your perspective. Chapter 7. Influence Through Empathy and Active Listening. If you want to influence someone, you must first understand them. Not just their words, but their emotions, their struggles, their worldview. Influence without empathy is manipulation, but influence with empathy is transformation, and the key to unlocking empathy is active listening. Most people listen to respond, not to understand. They wait for their turn to speak. They hear the words, but miss the meaning. True influencers do the opposite. They listen like it's their only job. They make the other person feel like, in that moment, they are the most important person in the world. That level of attention is rare and powerful. Active listening is not silent waiting. It's an active presence. It means leaning in with your body, your mind, and your heart. It means nodding, maintaining gentle eye contact, and responding with reflective phrases like, "I see," that makes sense, or tell me more. It means asking thoughtful follow-up questions that show you're fully engaged. Empathy is the emotional engine of influence. It bridges the gap between two minds. It makes people feel safe, heard, and respected. When someone feels deeply understood, they're more willing to consider your perspective, not because you forced them to, but because you earned the right to be heard. To practice empathetic listening, focus entirely on the speaker. Put your phone away. Eliminate distractions. Listen for the emotion behind their words. Ask yourself, what is this person really feeling right now? Is it fear, excitement, doubt, pride, shame, hope? When you speak to that emotion, your words land deeper. Use empathy statements like, "That must have been difficult. It sounds like you really care about this. I can imagine why you'd feel that way." These simple phrases validate the other person's experience. They don't mean you agree. You're just acknowledging their reality. And acknowledgement is the first step to influence. Sometimes, the most persuasive thing you can say is nothing at all. Silence gives space for people to reflect, to open up, and to feel in control. In that silence, your presence does the influencing. You become the person they trust, not because you had the right answer, but because you cared enough to listen without judgment. Influence isn't always about being the loudest voice in the room. Often, it's about being the calmest presence, the one who listens when no one else does, the one who understands before offering advice, the one who makes people feel seen in a world that constantly overlooks them. Empathy is not weakness. It is the sharpest tool in the influencer's toolkit. Because once someone feels safe with you, they let down their guard. And that's when real influence begins. Chapter 8, Framing and Reframing. The language of influence. The words you choose shape the world others see. Change the frame and you change the picture. Framing is the subtle art of presenting an idea in a way that alters how people perceive it. Reframing is taking an existing belief or situation and shifting its meaning to create a more empowering or productive response. Both are essential to influencing how people think, feel, and act. People don't respond to reality. They respond to their perception of reality. And perception is controlled by the frame surrounding a situation. For example, imagine telling someone, "This task will take a long time." Now reframe it. This is a chance to do deep, meaningful work. The facts haven't changed, but the emotional response has. That's the power of framing. Politicians, marketers, and master communicators use this every day. They never say, "Tax increase." They say, "Investment in our future." They don't say, "Cutbacks." They say, "Strategic reallocations." Every word carries weight. Every phrase paints a picture. As an influencer, you must become intentional with language. Choose frames that create clarity, not confusion. Hope, not fear. Empowerment, not pressure. You can also reframe people's limiting beliefs. When someone says, "I always mess things up," reframe with, "That's a sign you're learning and evolving." When they say, "I'm stuck," respond with, "Maybe you're just preparing for a breakthrough." Reframing doesn't deny reality. It shifts the focus to what's possible instead of what's wrong. This technique works in sales, coaching, parenting, leadership, anywhere influence is needed. Let's say someone hesitates to take action because of fear. You can reframe fear as fuel. That fear you feel? That means this matters. It's the edge of your growth. Now fear becomes motivation instead of paralysis. Even the way you present options affects outcomes. If you say you can choose A or B, it feels restrictive. But if you frame it as, "Would you prefer A now or explore B later?" it feels like freedom. Framing isn't about tricking people. It's about guiding them toward clarity and ownership. Another powerful framing technique is using contrast. Show how much worse the alternative is. For example, you could stay stuck doing what you've always done, or step into something new that could change everything. The contrast creates urgency and highlights the value of your suggestion. Always be aware of how your words build meaning. Avoid words that create resistance like "you must," "you should," or "you have to." Replace them with softeners like "consider," "what if," or "would you be open to?" These gentle frames disarm defensiveness and invite collaboration. In moments of conflict, reframing can also de-escalate tension. Instead of saying, "you're wrong," say, "that's one way to look at it. Let me offer another perspective." The message remains, but the delivery becomes digestible. Framing and reframing aren't just communication tools. They're mindset tools. The more you use them with others, the more you learn to use them with yourself. You stop seeing obstacles and start seeing opportunities. You stop resisting problems and start reframing them into purpose. That's when you stop needing influence and start becoming it. Chapter 9, Storytelling That Sells Ideas and Wins Hearts. Facts tell, but stories sell. Data informs the mind, but stories move the heart. If you want to influence people, you must learn the language of emotion, and that language is storytelling. A good story bypasses resistance, ignites imagination, and makes your message unforgettable. It builds trust, creates empathy, and delivers insight without feeling like instruction. From ancient tribes to modern boardrooms, stories have always shaped beliefs and behavior. They're not just entertainment. They are how humans make sense of the world. When someone tells a compelling story, the listener's brain lights up as if they're living it themselves. That's why storytelling is the ultimate influence tool. It creates shared experience. To use storytelling effectively, don't overcomplicate it. Every great story follows a simple structure, a relatable character, a clear challenge, a turning point, and a transformation. Start with a situation the listener can identify with. Introduce a conflict that mirrors their own struggles. Describe how the character overcomes it, and end with a lesson that aligns with your message. Let's say you're trying to inspire someone to take a risk. Don't throw statistics at them. Tell them about a time when you were scared to take a leap, but did it anyway, and how that changed everything. Paint the scene. Describe the fear, the hesitation, the breakthrough. Let them feel it. Influence begins when people feel. The best stories are personal, but universal. They're vulnerable, but grounded in growth. They reveal a part of you that others can see themselves in. And that's what creates emotional connection. When you share your truth, you give others permission to do the same. That's when walls come down and influence flows in. Timing is also crucial. You don't need to open every conversation with a story. Use them when the listener is emotionally invested, when the stakes are high, or when logic isn't enough, and keep them concise. A 2-minute story told with emotion will have more impact than a 10-minute monologue filled with fluff. Another powerful technique is the metaphor. A short, symbolic story or comparison that brings clarity to complex ideas. For example, explaining resilience as a bouncing ball is far more effective than reading a definition. Metaphors stick. They simplify. They make your ideas portable. If you're in sales, use a success story from a past client. If you're a leader, use a personal failure that taught you a valuable lesson. If you're a teacher, turn every concept into a journey. The more human your message becomes, the more it resonates. Finally, always end your story with a takeaway. What's the point? What do you want them to feel, believe, or do as a result? The transformation is where the influence happens. It's not just the story, it's the shift the story creates. You don't need to be a writer or a speaker to tell great stories. You just need to be honest, intentional, and emotionally present. Speak from experience, not ego. Speak to uplift, not impress. And remember, your story, told at the right moment, could be the catalyst for someone else's change. Chapter 10, scarcity, and urgency. How to spark action? People are far more motivated by what they might lose than by what they could gain. This is the psychology of scarcity. When something is rare, limited, or time-sensitive, its perceived value increases instantly. We're wired to want what we think we might not be able to have. That's why scarcity and urgency are two of the most powerful tools for creating action and influence. Scarcity works because it triggers a survival instinct. If a resource is limited, our brain tells us to secure it before it's gone. It creates tension, and that tension drives decision-making. Think about phrases like limited spots available, only two left in stock, or offer expires tonight. These aren't just marketing tricks. They activate urgency in the human brain and push us toward immediate action. But to use scarcity ethically and effectively, it must be true. False urgency backfires and destroys trust. Real scarcity builds credibility. If you're offering a service, be honest about your availability. If you're launching a product, be transparent about deadlines or limited quantities. If you're leading a team, set clear timeframes and expectations that push people to act with focus and commitment. Urgency is about time. It's the emotional pressure to act now rather than later. Most people delay decisions not because they don't care, but because there's no emotional reason to act immediately. That's where urgency comes in. When you attach time-based consequences to inaction, people shift from passive to proactive. One way to create urgency is by highlighting opportunity cost. Instead of saying, "You'll benefit from this," say, "The longer you wait, the more progress you lose." That subtle change moves the listener from thinking to acting. They begin to feel that waiting has a price, and that price is too high. Another strategy is the window closing approach. Let people know the current moment is unique and won't last. Use lines like, "This is the perfect time to take this step," or, "If we wait too long, we may miss our chance." Again, this isn't about pressure, it's about priority. You're helping people move past hesitation and into momentum. Scarcity also works in relationships. When you're too available, your value drops. But when you set boundaries, protect your time, and live with purpose, people begin to respect your presence. They feel your time is precious, because it is. Influence rises when others know you won't chase. You offer value, and they choose to move toward it. Remember, urgency must come with clarity. Don't just say, "Act fast." Say why. Say what they'll miss. Say how it impacts them. Vague urgency leads to skepticism. Specific urgency creates trust and motion. Also, never use scarcity or urgency to manipulate. Use them to highlight real value, inspire timely action, and help people move out of procrastination. Influence isn't about control. It's about clarity, alignment, and energy. In the end, people don't regret the actions they take with courage. They regret the chances they didn't take. Scarcity and urgency remind them that now matters. And when they act now, they often change their entire future. Chapter 11: Social Proof Influencing Through Others. When people are uncertain, they look to others for guidance. This is the foundation of social proof. We assume that if others are doing something, it must be right. If a restaurant is full, we believe the food is good. If a product has thousands of five-star reviews, we trust its quality. If a speaker is admired by many, we listen more closely. That's not weakness. It's human nature. Social proof is influenced through the behavior and approval of others. We are social creatures. From birth, we rely on the group to tell us what's safe, what's valuable, and what's true. That's why we follow trends, mimic behavior, and feel more comfortable when others validate our choices. As an influencer, when you show that others have embraced your idea, solution, or approach, you reduce resistance instantly. You help the person feel like they're not taking a risk alone. They're stepping into something trusted by many. there are many forms of social proof. Testimonials, reviews, endorsements, public support, case studies, popularity metrics, shared results. These cues bypass skepticism and activate trust. If others have succeeded, the listener thinks, maybe I can too. For example, if you're trying to influence a decision at work, don't just say your idea is good. Show how it worked in a similar team or how other respected leaders are doing the same. If you're in business, showcase stories from satisfied clients. If you're in social situations, mention mutual friends or shared experiences that build familiarity. Social proof is especially powerful when the reference group is similar to your audience. We are more influenced by people we identify with. If a young entrepreneur sees that other young entrepreneurs love your coaching, they feel seen. If a parent hears that other parents trust your advice, they open up faster. Match your proof to your audience, and your influence deepens. You can also create live social proof in the moment. When one person in a group agrees with you or supports your idea, others start to follow. That's why getting early buy-in from key voices is so important. They pave the way for broader influence. Another powerful form of social proof is numbers. When you say, over 10,000 people have downloaded this, or we've helped clients in 42 countries, it signals credibility. But don't exaggerate. Authentic proof works better than inflated claims. People can sense when something's been hyped too much, and it breaks trust. Even subtle forms of social proof matter. Body language, for example. When others nod during your speech, it makes the audience more receptive. When a respected peer listens attentively to your idea, it elevates your authority in the room. Use social proof to reduce fear. Fear of being wrong. Fear of standing out. Fear of failure. Show that others have faced similar doubts and moved forward anyway. The more people feel, I'm not alone in this, the more they trust your direction. And always remember, social proof is not about bragging. It's about reassurance. You're not showing off. You're showing that what you offer works, that others have benefited, that this is a path others have walked and thrived on. In the noisy, skeptical world we live in, social proof cuts through the doubt. It speaks for you when words fall short. And it reminds your audience that belief doesn't have to start with blind faith. It can start with borrowed confidence until they build their own. Chapter 12, The Power of Consistency and Commitment. People don't just want to be right, they want to be consistent. Once someone makes a decision, declares a belief, or takes a public stance, they feel a powerful inner drive to stay aligned with it. This psychological pattern is called consistency, and it's one of the most effective tools of influence. When used correctly, it can turn small agreements into major commitments. Dr. Robert Cialdini identified consistency as a core principle of persuasion. He observed that when people commit to something, especially in writing or out loud, they're far more likely to follow through. Why? Because inconsistency feels uncomfortable. It creates internal tension, and we're wired to avoid that discomfort by staying true to our words and actions. As an influencer, your goal is to guide people towards small, easy commitments that align with your larger message. Start small. Ask for agreement on values or goals before presenting your main idea. For example, in a sales context, ask, "Would you agree that saving time is a top priority for you?" Once they say yes, they've taken a small step. That small step paves the way for a larger decision. This technique is known as the foot-in-the-door method. You start with a small ask, something easy to say yes to. Then, once the person has committed, you present the real request. Because they've already invested, they're more likely to continue. This works because people want to appear logical, reliable, and aligned with their own behavior. But this isn't just about tactics. It's about helping people feel consistent with their own values. When you remind someone of who they aspire to be, kind, focused, responsible, they naturally want their actions to reflect that identity. Say things like, "You've always been someone who follows through," or, "I know you care deeply about doing the right thing." These statements prime the person to act in a way that supports that self-image. Another way to use consistency is through written commitments. Have someone write down their goals, sign a pledge, send a confirmation email. The physical act of writing reinforces the decision. It turns intention into ownership. That ownership leads to follow-through. Public commitments are even more powerful. When someone shares a decision in front of others, they feel social pressure to maintain it. That's why declarations on social media, team meetings, or public forums carry more weight. No one wants to appear flaky or indecisive. So use this to your advantage. Encourage people to declare their direction, not to trap them, but to empower them. You can also tap into past behavior to create forward momentum. Remind people of previous wins. Last time you committed to this, you crushed it. Remember when you took a chance and it paid off? These reminders help reinforce the story they tell themselves, that they are capable, courageous, and consistent. But be careful. Never use consistency to manipulate someone into something that goes against their values. Influence built on alignment lasts. Influence built on pressure breaks. Guide people toward choices they'll be proud of, not ones they'll regret. Consistency is not about control. It's about helping others see the logic in continuing down a path they already believe in. And when you make that path clear, safe, and aligned with their identity, influence becomes effortless. Chapter 13. Influencing without manipulation. Ethical persuasion. Influence becomes dangerous when it turns into manipulation, but when used with integrity, persuasion becomes a force for good, a way to uplift, guide, and empower others without deception, pressure, or control. The difference lies in intent. Manipulation serves the self. Ethical influence serves both. If your goal is to bring value, build trust, and create win-win outcomes, then your influence becomes a gift, not a game. The most respected influencers lead with transparency. They don't hide motives. They don't use hidden tricks. They speak their truth, listen with empathy, and offer real choices. People trust those who give them the freedom to decide. When you remove pressure and allow someone to say no, you often increase the chance they'll say yes, because now it's their decision, not your demand. Ethical persuasion starts with understanding. You must first seek to understand what someone truly wants, needs, or fears. Only then can you offer something that helps them, not just something that helps you. Ask questions. Listen deeply. Reflect their values. Influence flows when people feel like you actually care about their world, not just your outcome. One key principle of ethical influence is mutual benefit. Always ask yourself, does this serve them as much as it serves me? If the answer is yes, you're on the right path. If not, pause and reevaluate. Long-term trust is worth more than short-term gain. When people know you won't take advantage of them, they return to you. They recommend you. They follow you willingly, not because they're manipulated, but because they're inspired. Be honest about limitations. Don't oversell. Don't promise more than you can deliver. People respect vulnerability more than perfection. If your idea, product, or solution isn't for everyone, say so. That honesty builds credibility. It makes people feel safe, and safety builds influence. Use influence to lift, not push. Instead of telling people what to do, invite them to consider a better path. Instead of exploiting emotions like fear or shame, speak to values like growth, purpose, and freedom. When people move from inspiration instead of pressure, the change lasts longer and feels better. Also, use your power to protect. If you see someone making a decision that could hurt them, and you have insight that could help, step in, not to control them, but to support them. Influence isn't just about guiding people toward what they want. Sometimes it's about helping them avoid what they can't see. But always do it with respect. Never strip someone of their agency. Remember, ethical persuasion respects timing. Sometimes the best influence is patience. Plant the idea, share the vision, then step back and allow space for reflection. Influence doesn't always require urgency. Sometimes the quietest voice in the room, spoken with calm truth, carries the most weight. At the core of ethical influence is integrity. Are you being honest? Are you aligned with your values? Are you leaving people better than you found them? If the answer is yes, keep going. If not, pause and realign. Your influence is only as strong as your ethics. When people trust your character, they'll trust your direction. You don't have to manipulate to move people. Speak with purpose. Listen with empathy. Lead with service. And your influence will not only grow, it will endure. Chapter 14: Becoming Unshakable Confidence as a Core of Influence. Confidence is not loud. It doesn't brag. It doesn't beg. And it doesn't try to prove anything. Real confidence is quiet, grounded, and unshakable. It's the foundation of all influence because people don't follow words. They follow certainty. When you carry inner certainty, others instinctively feel it. They listen. They believe. They follow. Confidence isn't arrogance. Arrogance is insecurity wearing a costume. Confidence is security without the need for validation. It comes from self-awareness, earned experience, and deep belief in your own value. And it's not something you're born with. It's something you build, choice by choice, day by day. You build confidence by keeping your promises to yourself. When you say you'll do something, and then actually do it, you send a signal to your brain, "I can trust me." And when you trust yourself, others begin to trust you too. Your energy shifts. You stop second-guessing. You stop chasing approval. You speak with calm authority because you're rooted in truth. One of the fastest ways to build influence is to communicate with calm conviction. Don't rush. Don't fill silence with nervous words. Speak slowly, clearly, and deliberately. Let your words carry weight. When you pause, people lean in. When you believe in what you're saying, others feel it, without you needing to explain why. Nonverbal confidence is just as important. Stand tall, shoulders back, chin slightly up. Breathe deeply. Make eye contact, not to dominate, but to connect. Your body sends messages before your words do. If you walk in like you belong, others treat you like you do. Confidence also means being okay with rejection. Influence doesn't mean everyone will agree with you. And that's okay. Real confidence allows you to handle no without shrinking. It allows you to stay composed in disagreement. It lets you say, "I understand," instead of, "I need to convince you." Because influence isn't about forcing agreement. It's about standing strong in your message, regardless of outcome. To build lasting confidence, focus on preparation. Know your material. Know your value. Know your intention. When you walk into any situation prepared, you eliminate most fear. People don't fear failure. They fear being unready. Preparation is the antidote to doubt. Another secret? Confidence grows through action. You don't wait until you feel ready. You act, and then readiness follows. Speak up even when your voice shakes. Step forward even when your knees tremble. Each time you do, your confidence muscle strengthens. You prove to yourself that you can handle discomfort, and that's power. Surround yourself with people who reflect your strength, not your fears. Choose environments that challenge and stretch you. Seek feedback not to shrink, but to sharpen. Growth builds confidence, and confidence fuels influence. Finally, remember this: you don't have to be perfect to be powerful. You just have to be authentic. People are drawn to realness. Vulnerability with strength. Honesty with clarity. Humility with direction. When you show up as your full self, with flaws but also with purpose, people will not only listen, they'll be moved. Influence begins with presence. Presence begins with confidence. And confidence begins with the decision to believe in your voice, your vision, and your worth, no matter who's watching. Chapter 15. Influence in Everyday Moments. Turning small interactions into lasting impact. Influence doesn't just happen in boardrooms, negotiations, or big speeches. The most powerful influence happens in quiet, everyday moments. Conversations at the dinner table, a glance of encouragement, a word of support, a small act of kindness. These moments may feel ordinary, but they leave extraordinary marks on people's lives. Influence isn't always about changing minds. Sometimes, it's about reminding people of their value. Sometimes, it's about making someone feel seen. Sometimes, it's about listening when no one else will. And those moments, those seemingly invisible acts, carry more weight than 1,000 arguments. You don't need a stage to be influential. You need intention. Every interaction is a chance to uplift, to affirm, to guide. Whether you're speaking with a friend, a client, a stranger, or your own child, the question is the same. Am I showing up with presence and purpose right now? Because presence is the first signal of care. And care builds connection. And connection builds influence. Simple things matter. Remembering someone's name, looking them in the eye, asking how they're really doing, not interrupting, following up. These are not small gestures. They are deep signals that say, you matter. And when someone feels they matter to you, they start to care about what you say. That's influence. Even how you carry yourself in moments of frustration defines your impact. When you stay calm in conflict, others feel safe. When you admit a mistake with grace, others respect you more. When you lead with humility, people listen more closely. Your emotional tone becomes the emotional climate. Your energy shapes the room before your words even land. Influence in everyday life is also about repetition. Small things done consistently become powerful over time. A compliment every morning. A check-in every week. A habit of encouragement. A standard of honesty. These rituals of influence compound, and suddenly, you become the person people look to, turn to, and trust. And never underestimate the power of example. People may forget what you told them, but they will never forget how you lived in front of them. Be the standard. Walk your talk. Let your integrity echo louder than your advice. When your life aligns with your message, your influence becomes effortless. Real influence is not about being impressive. It's about being impactful. And impact isn't measured by applause or attention. It's measured by the quiet shift in someone's mindset because of you, by the courage they found through your belief, by the better choice they made because you modeled it. That's what matters. So wherever you are, whoever you're with, and whatever the situation, remember, every moment is a chance to influence. You don't need a script. You don't need permission. You just need to show up fully, speak from truth, and care deeply. Because that's where real influence lives, in the heart, in the presence, in the everyday. Chapter 16. Emotional Intelligence, the Silent Force Behind Influence. You can have the best words, the sharpest strategies, the loudest voice, but if you lack emotional intelligence, your influence will be limited and short-lived. Emotional intelligence is the silent force behind authentic persuasion. It's the ability to understand, manage, and respond to emotions, both your own and others, in ways that deepen trust, build connection, and shape outcomes without force. Influence is not just logical, it's emotional. People are moved by how you make them feel. If you make them feel understood, they'll open up. If you make them feel judged, they'll shut down. Emotional intelligence is what helps you read the emotional temperature of a room and adjust your tone, energy, or approach to meet others where they are. The first pillar of emotional intelligence is self-awareness. It means knowing your triggers, your patterns, your biases, It means being able to pause before you react. A person with influence doesn't lose control when challenged. They stay composed. That calmness is magnetic. People want to follow someone who doesn't get rattled, who responds with intention instead of emotion. The second is self-regulation. Influence dies the moment emotions hijack the message. If you let frustration speak for you, you lose respect. But when you master your emotions, not suppress but manage, you keep the power of your voice. You speak clearly, even in conflict. You ask instead of accuse. You breathe before you speak. And that emotional discipline makes people lean in, not pull away. The third is empathy. This is where influence truly begins. When you can step into someone else's experience, when you can feel what they feel and see what they see, your words begin to resonate at a deeper level. You're no longer just talking. You're connecting. And that connection is what makes people trust you, follow you, and act because of you. Emotionally intelligent influencers don't speak to the surface. They speak to the core. They don't shame, they support. They don't overpower, they empower. They ask questions like, what's really going on here? Or, what's this person afraid of? And in that moment of reflection, they shift the energy in the conversation without force. Another essential trait is social awareness. It's the ability to sense what's unspoken. To pick up on discomfort, resistance, enthusiasm, or doubt, even when no one says it out loud. This skill allows you to pivot your approach, change your pace, or revisit your message until it lands. Emotional intelligence also teaches timing. Just because you have something to say doesn't mean it's the right moment. Influence is about when, not just what. A wise influencer knows when to speak, when to listen, when to wait, and when to act. Lastly, emotionally intelligent people use feedback as fuel, not as a threat. They welcome correction. They listen when others express frustration. They don't get defensive. They get curious. Because growth makes them stronger, not smaller. And that humility sharpens their ability to lead, guide, and influence. Emotional intelligence doesn't shout. It doesn't chase approval. It simply knows. And when others feel that calm, compassionate certainty in you, they listen not just with their ears, but with their hearts. Chapter 17, The Influence of Silence. When saying nothing says everything, silence isn't empty. It speaks volumes. In a world filled with constant noise, the person who masters silence holds an invisible form of power. Silence can create space, tension, reflection, and clarity. It can disarm, comfort, and influence without a single word. Great influencers don't always fill the room with speech. They shape the room with presence. When used intentionally, silence becomes a tool, not a void. It gives weight to your words. It makes others listen more closely. It forces attention inward. After you make a powerful point, pause. Let it land. Let it echo. The absence of noise makes the message feel more significant. People lean in because silence draws them in. In conversations, silence can do what explanations can't. When someone is defensive, arguing back often escalates. But silence, calm, intentional silence, creates a mirror. It invites them to hear their own words, to reflect, to self-correct. Sometimes, the most influential response is no response at all. In negotiation, silence can shift the dynamic entirely. When you make an offer or a request, resist the urge to over-justify. Say it, then stop. Let them fill the silence. The tension created by the pause often leads the other party to reveal more, reconsider their position, or agree faster than if you had pushed. Silence also shows emotional strength. When you're attacked, criticized, or misunderstood, choosing silence instead of reacting shows control. It says, "I won't be pulled into chaos." That restraint commands more respect than any comeback. It proves you're governed by principle, not impulse. In coaching or leadership, silence gives others the floor. It tells them, this is your moment. It opens the door for insight, for growth, for discovery. The best mentors know when to speak and when to step back. In the space you leave, others find their voice. Even in storytelling, silence matters. Strategic pauses give listeners time to feel, to absorb, to connect emotionally with the message. Without pauses, words lose their impact. With them, every idea breathes and expands. But silence isn't just about withholding words. It's about presence without pressure. It's about making space without abandoning. It's about being there fully, even when you're not speaking. People feel that. They remember that. To master influence, you must become comfortable with stillness, with not always having the answer, with letting others take the lead, with trusting that silence isn't weakness, it's wisdom. It shows you're not trying to control the moment, you're co-creating it. Silence is the resting point of influence, the moment between notes that makes the melody meaningful. It reminds people that depth doesn't always need volume, and that sometimes the most powerful message is the one that's felt, not heard. Chapter 18, Energy Influence. How your vibe shapes every interaction. Before you say a word, people feel your energy. It enters the room before you do. It lingers after you leave. Your presence, your emotional frequency, your internal state, communicates louder than your voice ever could. This is energy influence. It's the unspoken language of confidence, clarity, and calm that either attracts or repels. It's what makes people feel safe, inspired, or guarded without knowing why. Energy is contagious. If you're rushed, scattered, or stressed, the people around you absorb that tension. If you're grounded, focused, and open, they naturally relax and trust more. That's not magic. It's neuroscience. Human beings are wired with mirror neurons that reflect the emotional states of those around them. Your emotional posture becomes a signal, guiding others toward or away from engagement. That's why influence starts with internal alignment. If you carry doubt, people feel it. If you radiate certainty, people sense that too. Your vibe reveals your beliefs before your message does. So before influencing others, check your own state. Are you centered? Are you fully present? Are you speaking from anxiety or authority? Energy influence isn't about being loud or hyper. It's about being intentional. Some of the most influential people speak softly, but their energy is unmistakably strong. Their stillness, their eye contact, their posture, all tell a story of self-trust. They don't need to dominate. They draw people in by being fully tuned in. Your energy also sets the emotional rhythm of any conversation. If you stay calm in conflict, others de-escalate. If you stay curious during disagreement, it invites openness. If you remain hopeful in difficulty, it instills belief. That emotional leadership isn't about words. It's about emotional discipline and presence. The fastest way to elevate your influence is to manage your state. Breathe deeply before speaking. Enter conversations with intention, not just information. Let your energy say, I'm here with you, I'm steady, I'm clear. That silent message builds more trust than any sales pitch ever could. Remember, energy never lies. You can fake words. You can fake gestures, but you can't fake alignment. People will feel if your outer message matches your inner reality. That's why self-work isn't separate from influence. It is influence. The more congruent you become, the more magnetic you become. You can also use energy to reset a room. When energy feels heavy, bring lightness. When it's chaotic, bring calm. When it's negative, bring possibility. You don't have to fix everything. Just shift your own state. That alone creates space for others to rise. And don't underestimate small energetic cues how you walk in, how you sit, how you smile. These subtle behaviors shape perceptions instantly. Carry yourself like someone who respects their message. Move with quiet confidence. Make people feel that your presence means something, not because you force it, but because you've earned it. Influence through energy is the most authentic kind. It doesn't need applause or attention. It simply exists. It simply is. And once you master it, your influence becomes effortless, because people don't just hear you, they feel you. Chapter 19. Invisible Influence: Shaping Behavior Without Direct Control. The most powerful influence isn't forceful. It's subtle. It happens in the background without commands or control. This is invisible influence, the art of guiding people's actions, thoughts, and emotions without them even realizing they're being influenced. It's not manipulation, it's mastery. It's not about power over others, it's about alignment with them. Invisible influence works by shaping the environment, planting cues, adjusting context, and letting natural psychology do the rest. When you create the right conditions, people often influence themselves. They move, decide, or change because it feels like their own choice. And that's what makes it stick. One way to create invisible influence is through priming, subtle exposure to words, images, or ideas that shape future behavior. For example, if someone sees the word achievement before making a decision, they're more likely to choose the ambitious option. If they hear music that feels relaxing, they make more generous choices. These small cues can shift entire mindsets. Another method is environmental design. People's choices are shaped by their surroundings. Want someone to eat healthier? Put the fruit at eye level. Want your team to collaborate more? Design a space where people naturally bump into each other. You don't have to force behavior, just nudge it with intentional structure. Even your expectations are invisible influencers. The way you see others affects how they see themselves. When you expect excellence, people tend to rise to meet it. When you believe in someone's potential, they begin to believe in it too. Not because you told them, but because you reflected it in how you treated them. Another subtle method is behavioral mirroring. Not mimicry, but energetic alignment. When you subtly reflect someone's tone, pace, or posture, they subconsciously feel more connected to you. That comfort builds trust, and trust opens the door to deeper influence. Social norms are also powerful invisible forces. When people feel like everyone else is doing it, they tend to follow. Highlighting what others have already embraced makes a behavior feel safe, acceptable, and smart. This is why reviews, testimonials, and stories from peers often influence more than data ever could. Invisible influence also relies on consistency of identity. If you help someone see themselves differently, more capable, more valuable, more courageous, they will start acting in alignment with that identity. Not because you told them to, but because their mind seeks to stay consistent with how they now see themselves. To apply invisible influence, you must lead with awareness, not authority. Ask instead of instruct. Guide instead of demand. Suggest instead of push. People resist being controlled, but they embrace being understood. And the moment they feel ownership over the decision, your influence becomes lasting. You don't need to dominate the conversation. Just shift the frame. Highlight new angles. Introduce better alternatives. Speak in a way that empowers the listener to reach their own conclusions. Because when someone feels they made the decision, they rarely resist it. They defend it. True influence often looks like nothing happened. No conflict. No struggle. Just flow. Just insight. Just a shift in energy, in perspective, in behavior. So smooth it felt like it was always meant to be that way. Chapter 20. Legacy Influence: Creating a Ripple That Outlives You. The greatest influence isn't measured in likes, applause, or attention. It's measured in lives changed long after you're gone. Legacy influence is the kind that continues to echo, even when your voice is no longer in the room. It's not about short-term persuasion. It's about long-term transformation. It's about planting seeds that grow into forests you may never see. You build legacy influence not by trying to be remembered, but by focusing on being useful, intentional, and deeply aligned with who you are. Influence that lasts doesn't come from force. It comes from truth. From impact made in private moments. From values lived consistently. From people who were never told what to do, but shown what's possible. Legacy isn't something you create at the end. It's something you build daily. It's in the way you treat others when no one's watching. It's in the risks you take to stand for what matters. It's in the people you encourage, the hands you lift, the courage you awaken in others. Not for credit, but because it's right. The leaders who change the world aren't always the loudest. Often, they're the most consistent. They're the ones who show up day after day with heart. They're the ones who embody integrity, not in words, but in choices. Their presence gives others permission to rise, to hope, to believe again. And those quiet shifts, they ripple across time. To build legacy influence, start by defining your core values. What do you want people to feel in your presence? What kind of energy do you want to leave behind? When your values become your compass, every action becomes aligned, and alignment creates trust. Trust, over time, becomes legacy. You also shape your legacy through people development. Pour into others. Mentor, guide, support. Help people become leaders, thinkers, builders. Don't hoard influence. Multiply it. The more others grow because of you, the more your influence compounds. Legacy isn't about being followed. It's about creating future guides. Leave systems behind. Tools. Ideas. Frameworks. Teach principles that outlive trends. Help people think for themselves, not depend on you. True legacy is not dependency. It's independence. It's people using what you taught to carve their own path. Even your failures shape legacy. When you fall but rise with grace, others learn how to navigate setbacks. When you admit your errors, you model humility. When you change your mind with new insight, you show that growth is greater than ego. And above all, live it. Don't just talk about kindness. Be kind. Don't preach courage. Take the leap. Don't promote purpose. Embody it. Influence that is lived becomes unforgettable. Years from now, someone you never met may speak your name. Not because you were famous, but because you were impactful. Because something you did or said or stood for lit a fire in someone who then passed that fire forward. That's legacy. That's influence. And that's how your presence outlives your voice. Influence that begins with you. You've just journeyed through the strategies, principles, and timeless truths that shape the art of influence. But here's the most important truth of all. Your greatest power doesn't come from techniques. It comes from who you choose to be. Every interaction is a chance to make someone feel more seen. Every moment is an opportunity to lead by example. Every word, every pause, every act of listening shapes the world around you. Influence isn't about having the right words. It's about carrying the right energy. It's not about control. It's about connection. It's not about persuading others to follow you. It's about awakening something within them that makes them lead themselves. No matter who you are, where you come from, or what stage you're in, you have influence. You don't need permission. You don't need a title. You don't need a platform. You just need the courage to speak with truth, the discipline to lead with purpose, and the heart to serve with integrity. The world is moved forward not just by power, but by presence. Not just by information, but by inspiration. Not by those who shout the loudest, but by those who show up, live fully, and lift others without needing recognition. So go. Influence wisely. Influence kindly. Influence quietly if you must, but never underestimate the ripple you leave behind. Because the most extraordinary leaders aren't always remembered for what they said. They're remembered for how they made people feel, grow, and believe. This is your time, not to manipulate, not to impress, but to move people with your voice, your choices, and your presence. Influence isn't something you chase, it's something you become.